This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
KYW News Radio Original Podcasts.
It's just a good conversation with someone you didn't know you were interested in. I'm Matt Leon, and this is One-on-One, sponsored by your Delaware Valley Honda dealers. Get a deal you'll like on a Honda you'll love.
It's just so gut-wrenching and heart-wrenching that it's just something that you want to just fight for these people. You want to do whatever you can to take your shirt off your back and give it to them and do whatever you can to make them, you know that they're going to be okay. But at the end of the day, you know that they're in for the battle of their lives.
And our guest this week is Brett Datto. He is the president of the Darren Dalton Foundation. And Brett, thanks so much for coming in.
Matt, thanks for having me. Big fan of KYW and bigger fan of you.
Thank you very much. So I think everybody is familiar with Darren Dalton, the great Phillies catcher who was taken from us way too soon, and probably have heard about the Darren Dalton Foundation. But for people that maybe don't know the specifics, tell us about what you guys do, what the Darren Dalton Foundation is all about.
Sure. The foundation is there to help raise money for families affected by the same type of brain cancer that unfortunately took Darren's life too soon. So we're there to meet their daily needs. If they have a confirmed medical diagnosis of a primary malignant brain tumor and they're struggling to meet their financial needs, then they go to our website, fill out an application, the board reviews it, and if it's approved, then we'll help with their daily expenses such as their mortgages, real estate taxes, whatever they're really struggling with.
How many people do you help? It sounds like a very specific thing, but unfortunately, it affects a lot of people.
Yeah, it's really remarkable how many people we're actually helping on a daily basis. I would say we see anywhere from 8 to 10 applications per month. We service Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware. We just recently started to service Florida. And the amount of cases that we're seeing has been increasing. I don't know if it's environmental or what's going on, but it's a really sad situation. But we're here to help them at their time of need, help them apply, help them navigate, a troubled water. They should be focused on their medical condition and not on their financial condition.
From a day-to-day standpoint, you kind of talked about what you guys do, but like, what are some of the things you're doing in your role?
Yeah, so my role is basically like the executive director of the organization. I run the day-to-day operations, but I couldn't do it without an amazing team that I've helped build around this organization over the last 11 years since we started. So we have a very active board. Each board member is responsible for his or her tasks. For example, we have a grant administrator who reviews all the applications, summarizes them for the board, has the day-to-day contact with the applicants to talk about any issues that the applicant is confronting in their daily life. We have Darren's physician, Dr. Kevin Judy, who is a neurosurgeon at Jefferson. He's on our board. He reviews the pathology that the applicant has to submit to confirm the diagnosis. We have a full-time treasurer who's doing all the payment of the bills and stuff like that. So each board member has their, you know, distinctive role. And as a team, it just all comes together. We couldn't be where we are without an amazing marketing team that helps, you know, with our social media, helps promote our events. Our social media has grown, you know, tenfold over the last couple of years, and we have just more followers and more supporters than ever.
Where are we when it comes to progress against this type of cancer, this type of tumor? I did a podcast interview for a different podcast about a year or so ago talking about the fight against cancer, and everybody's waiting for that silver bullet that we've cured cancer. And I asked the doctor about that, and he said, well, different fronts look differently. There's been a ton of progress against this type. We struggle against this type. Like, there have been a lot of breakthroughs, but nothing that, like, you know, like I said, people waiting for that one big headline. So in this case, in the time that you've been involved with the foundation, has there been progress?
There's been progress, but unfortunately, glioblastoma is a very difficult disease to overcome. The life expectancy historically is anywhere from 16 months to approximately 3 years. Darren was way outside that. He was going on 4+ years of battling the disease. But when it gets to the point of being a grade 4 glioblastoma, it's essentially, you know, how much time do you have left? So we have seen some advances in science and in medicine to help, you know, comfort people along the way. But we're not to the point where we're ever going to see that secret sauce that's going to help battle and fight this disease and eradicate the disease, which is our goal.
What is it like for you and other board members and other people that work with the foundation on a regular basis from an emotional standpoint? Because you have to be built a certain way to deal with this, to have what I'm sure are incredibly personal conversations, incredibly intimate conversations. Unfortunately, in some cases, lose people that you, I'm sure you've grown to like. Like, what is it like from an emotional standpoint for you and other people involved?
It's incredibly heart-wrenching. The stories that we see run the gamut. We've helped applicants as young as 2-3 years old to applicants that are 80-90 years old and everything in between. Men, women, it doesn't matter. It has no filter on how people are affected by it. The stories are sad. They're obviously coming to us because they're at a point in their lives where they're struggling financially and they need some assistance. And we're one of the only foundations that I'm aware of that actually provides financial assistance to the applicant. Now, we don't give the money to the applicant, but we ask the applicant, where are you struggling with your bills? They'll identify, you know, their hardships, and then we'll pay that provider directly. But the stories are just sad. They're awful. They're situations where we get to know the applicant very well, and then the next thing you know, the applicant has passed, and it's very sad. And we're seeing a high volume of people that are passing from this disease that we've helped over the last, you know, 3, 4, 5 years that just simply can't fight the fight anymore.
Talk to me a little bit about the origin of the Darren Dalton Foundation.
Sure. Darren, when he played for the Philadelphia Phillies, he always had a passion for helping the Philadelphia homelessness crisis. And so back in the 90s, he was driving up Broad Street, saw a homeless person, got out of his car, helped that person, you know, financially, helped them with a meal that night. And he said, you know what, I want to do something to help fight this problem that's going on in the city of Philadelphia. So for years, he was actively involved in helping fight homelessness in Philadelphia. And then in 2013, when he was unfortunately diagnosed with the glioblastoma, he said, you know what, I've given so many years to helping the homeless, but it's time that I change the mission of what I've, you know, wanted to do. And I want to help people that are in the same situation as me. And that's really how it was born. It was born out of Darren's unfortunate, you know, diagnosis. So he and his wife decided that they were going to start a foundation to help the families affected by this type of brain cancer. They came to me, and I had been a lawyer for Darren for many years and didn't know a lot about how to start up and run a foundation. But we took our baby steps, learned it, formed the entity, And our first fundraiser was working with the Phillies that year to do a golf tournament. And we raised $50,000 out the bat. This was probably 3 months into our existence. And we said, you know what? This is something that, you know, might work. And so now here we are 11 years later, raised, over $1 million, in various fundraisers, given back a lot of money to, the community, to those affected. And it's just been a slow progression, but we're making bigger and better strides every day.
We talked about the emotional toll this can take working with people in this situation. Were you prepared for that? I think it is one thing to have people tell you that, or you read that, or you understand it, but to experience it, I think, is another thing. Were you prepared the first time you had a story like that that just kind of took your breath away and your stomach dropped?
I was absolutely not prepared for that. I remember it was, I think, a Tuesday or Wednesday night. Darren had been on air doing a radio show, talking baseball with Dutch and with Joe DeCamera. And I got a call from the station manager saying that something was going on with Darren. He was kind of slurring his words and just looked disoriented. So I recommended that we get him over to Bryn Mawr Hospital, got him over to Bryn Mawr Hospital. They didn't like what they saw. They got him down to Jefferson. And we knew that after the CAT scan that he had some sort of tumor, but we didn't know exactly the extent of it. We didn't know the severity of it. So literally within a week, Darren was undergoing surgery, brain surgery at Jefferson with Dr. Kevin Judy. And I remember sitting in the waiting room for about 7 hours. It was a long surgery with Darren's mother, Darren's wife, and one of our board members, Mark Ambolino. And I just remember Dr. Judy coming into the room and saying that he wanted to talk to us. We knew at that point it had to be very serious news. And he said, Darren had two brain tumors that I was able to get one of them out fully, the other one out, most of it, but not all of it. And he said, but I have to tell you, it's grade 4 GBM. And at that point, Matt, I didn't know what GBM was. I really didn't know the extent of it. I heard of it, didn't know much about it. And it was a shock to all of us. And we said, what is GBM? What is glioblastoma? Tell us, educate us. And it was a frightful thing that no one can ever prepare for. I felt horrific for his mother. I felt horrific for his wife. And it was just, the worst news that anybody could, deliver at that moment. And, slowly after that, we just continue to, fight the fight, educate. Darren's wife, Amanda, every step of the way was doing research, investigation, whatever she could do to make Darren feel comfortable, to make him get healthy, to get him energy to fight this disease. It was remarkable. I never saw anybody who just, poured her soul into every ounce of energy she could give to make Darren, fight this. And obviously, unfortunately, after 4 years, he did lose the battle. But it's something that you can never prepare for.
How has being a part of this, seeing this, changed you as a person?
Yeah, it's grounded me. I've never experienced brain cancer in my immediate family. But the more that I've been involved in this field, the more that I've gotten to know people and hear their stories and see what they're battling and get to know them. And one of my law partners, for example, her husband was just diagnosed with brain cancer. So it kind of hardens you on the one hand because you're seeing so much of it. But on the other hand, you just, one story after another, it's just so sad. And it's just so gut-wrenching and heart-wrenching that it's just something that you want to just fight for these people. You want to do whatever you can to take your shirt off your back and give it to them and do whatever you can to make them, know that they're going to be okay. But at the end of the day, you know that they're in for the battle of their lives.
So what's the origin story of your relationship with Darren Dalton? How'd you meet him? You were his lawyer for a long time.
Yeah, I had first met Darren in 1994, actually. That's obviously after the good 1993 Phillies World Series run. And I was fortunate enough to represent him in his divorce. He was going through a divorce at that time. He was married to the first ever Hooters model, Lynn Austin. And obviously, there's a story there because of what Hooters did with putting Lynn's billboard, in center field as Darren was the catcher having to look at his ex-wife out in center field. But that's a story for another day. But that's when I first got to represent him. I was his divorce lawyer, and we struck up a very good professional relationship, as any attorney-client relationship should be. And then it just developed into not only a continued 25-year professional relationship, but, you know, a personal relationship. You get to know your client. You get to interact with your client. You get to socialize with your client. Darren and I had a lot of, you know, great, fun memories along the way. One of my fondest memories was in 1995. We went out to Striped Bass, the old Striped Bass, for lunch one day. And a girl came up to the table and she was starstruck. She said, "Oh my God, Mr. Dalton, you're my favorite athlete." And she goes into her purse and she goes, "I have your card. Can I get your autograph?" And Darren said, "Yeah, sure. What's your name?" And she said, "Michelle." Oh, and he writes, you know, his autograph to Michelle. "Love, Darren." And without missing a beat, he said, "Hey, Michelle, do you want my friend Lenny Dykstra's autograph?" She turns to me. She goes, "Mr. Dykstra, can I have your autograph?" And she had no idea that I wasn't Lenny Dykstra. So I signed to Lenny Dykstra. You know, so that's the kind of fun Darren and I used to have. And he was a jokester on the one hand, but obviously had a serious side to him on the other hand.
Talk about having a very good professional relationship. And it blossoms into a close friendship. Is it difficult at times to serve as a lawyer for someone you become good friends with? Because is it hard to have difficult conversations or put the wall up, things you need to know, maybe don't want to know, stuff like that? Like, is that a difficult, is it hard to walk between those raindrops?
It's very difficult. And in fact, now I have a rule of thumb that I won't represent family or I won't represent friends. So I'll just refer them to somebody else in my office or somebody else who's, you know, more qualified in a certain area of the law. But yeah, it's a sticky situation, because if you don't get the result that they have engaged you for, then obviously that's going to create some sort of friction in the relationship, and you never want to mix business and pleasure with your friends or your family. So that, you know, that became an issue. But Darren and I, somehow we just made it work, you know, for 25 years. It was just, you know, no stress, no drama, no heartache. You know, we did, you know, some really good things together legally and professionally, and then obviously personally with the foundation. But I never recommend mixing business with pleasure.
We need to take a break. We will continue our conversation with Brett Datto in just a few moments. But right now we want to remind you that One-on-One with Matt Leon is sponsored by your Delaware Valley Honda dealers. Now's the time for a great deal on a new Honda. It's time to drive smarter with high-tech features and excellent reliability. It's time for intelligent design plus exciting performance. Get a new vehicle you'll love. Check out the Honda Civic, Accord, or HR-V. Contact your local Honda dealer today. See dealer for financing details. And now on One-on-One with Matt Leon, let's get back to our conversation with Brett Datto, president of the Darren Dalton Foundation. You talk about the story, having lunch with him the one time. What are some of your other favorite Darren Dalton memories, stories from over the years?
Yeah, actually, you know what? I have two of them. One was, I think it was 2006 or 2007. My boys were playing Cheltenham Little League. I was a Little League coach in Cheltenham Township. And it was probably March. I think the season was opening that April. And Darren had called me just to check in on me, as he did. You know, called me from Florida. He said, "How the boys doing?" Counselor. He called me counselor. I called him ball player for 25 years. And if I'm going to be counselor, then you're going to be ball player. And I said, "They're doing great." I said, "They're just getting ready for Little League. It's opening up in a couple of weeks." He goes, "Really?" He said, "You know what? I'll come. I'll throw out the first pitch." I'm like, "What?" You know, he said, "Yeah," he says, "this is the least I could do for all of, you know, the work that you've put in, you know, for me and my family." So Darren flew up from Clearwater on a Saturday morning, 9 o'clock, and for about 4 hours, even though these little leaguers had no idea probably who he was, the parents were thrilled. He, you know, threw out the first pitch. He signed autographs, took photographs, and that's, you know, a fond memory of Darren. That's one of my fondest memories, that Darren would just, you know, kiss babies, photographs, never said no to anything, never said no to an autograph, a photograph, whatever it was. And then if he met you, "Hey, Matt Leon, yeah, I met you 3 months ago at such and such, and it was really nice meeting you." So he had a remarkable ability to recollect names and faces and dates and times. It was really remarkable. So that was a fond memory of the Cheltenham Little League. And then the other big memory that I have was 2008, when the Phillies made the World Series. My phone blows up one morning. I was at work, and everybody's like, "Yeah, Darren's on the air talking about, you know, you as a lawyer." And he was talking about how he was going to take me down to the World Series and parade me around, you know, the Citizens Bank Park. So I went down to the ballpark with him that night and got to go on the field. And he's, you know, this is my lawyer. And it was just Darren being Darren, which is he wanted to thank, you know, me and just like, you know, what he did with the foundation, just wanted to thank everybody who ever supported him.
He was obviously a leader in the clubhouse with the Phillies. I mean, you hear all kinds of stories about that 93 season and him setting guys straight and, you know, stuff like that. Did he exude those types of characteristics outside of baseball? Did you get that kind of hard-ass guy that'll tell you something maybe you don't want to hear? Or was he kind of different away from the locker room, away from the field?
And, Darren spoke his mind. Darren wasn't shy about expressing his feelings. And if something he saw or didn't like or heard, he would call you on it. And I respected that. And, you know, it kind of reminds me, Matt, that's a great, you know, segue to a story that I heard. When Darren got traded in 1997 at the All-Star break to the Marlins, the first day that he shows up, from what I've been told by others that were there, it was a hot day in Miami. I think it was 110 degrees on the field that day, and the guys were practicing, except for a few of the, prima donnas of the Marlins team who were inside the clubhouse in the air conditioning because it was too hot outside. And Darren shows up and he says, "Guys, what are you doing here? Aren't you guys supposed to be practicing?" They're like, "Yeah, it's too hot out there." Darren's like, "Listen, I came here to win a god darn World Series. Get your butts out there and go play some baseball and go practice." And that was who he was. And the guys were like, "Who is this guy?" It's day one. He's showing up and he's telling us what to do. But they respected it. They won the World Series. And from what I'm told from five or six people that were either managers, coaches, or players on that team, that they wouldn't have won that World Series if it wasn't for Darren and his leadership and his ability to kind of kick butt when butt needed to be kicked.
Going back to the, you know, talking about being a friend with someone you're representing, Darren had some ups and downs off the field. What is that like to deal with as a lawyer when, you know, it's stuff that he knows he shouldn't have done and stuff like that? How do you deal with that with a client who is a friend who did something that you know is wrong?
Yeah, I've represented many people that have had many problems along the lines. Nobody's perfect. And Darren certainly had some issues in his career. And the way that I always try to have any type of conversation with my clients about that was that there's resources available to you. So whether you are struggling with drugs, alcohol, counseling issues, emotional issues, family issues, financial issues, whatever it is, there's friends, there's resources, there's therapists, there's counselors, there's the ability to turn to others. And it's very hard for someone who doesn't think that they have a problem to be able to recognize that they have a problem and do something about it to make a difference and to change, you know, their lifestyle and their habits. And so just trying to be persistent, not being in your face about it, but just laying the cards on the table, saying, you know, I recognize something here. Did you ever consider? And just leaving it up to them. You can't force them, but all you could do is educate them and see if they can make a difference.
So the first time you represented him, as you said, was when he got divorced from his first wife. Did you have familiarity with what it was like to walk in the circles of professional athletes or people like that? Or was this a brand new door that you stepped through?
This was a brand new door. I was a fourth year associate at a firm in Philadelphia, and Harry Callis had been telling the guy that I was working for, Nick Clementi, that Darren was, you know, looking for somebody, and Nick had done some divorce work, and Nick said, "I have somebody in the office that can potentially help." So Nick comes down to my office and says, "Hey, we have a 2 o'clock appointment. Throw on a blazer or something, you know, dress up a little bit nicer than you are today." And I throw on a blazer. I go into the conference room and there's Darren Dalton. And I'm like, "Wow, what's this all about?" And then to get into it, to learn the story, here's what's going on. understand that it was in Florida. I wasn't barred in Florida, so I had to get specially admitted into Florida for that purpose. And then to be representing a captain of the Philadelphia Phillies who had 9 knee surgeries, who that became an issue in the divorce case because of his playing career and his longevity, and having to deal with the doctors at Jefferson who did this surgery, having to deal with the Phillies front office, having to deal with his teammates and issues in that regard, and then obviously having to deal with getting off a plane and the media seeing Darren Dalton in Clearwater for a divorce was something that, you know, they wanted, you know, to know facts about and information about because of A, it was a high profile case, and B, the Phillies just came out of the World Series, you know, 6 months earlier. So for me, it was a shock because I had never been exposed to that type of world, that type of lifestyle of professional athlete, nor was I exposed to all of the issues that went into representing somebody who had, you know, the type of career that Darren had. But you know, Darren had the faith in me, and I put my blood, sweat, and tears into it, obviously, because I wanted to do the best job that I could. And I think that's why, you know, we got a good result, and I think he was happy. And then it just exposed me to representing other friends, athletes, and things like that over the next 25 years of my career.
Was the media aspect the biggest thing you had to adjust to and learn how to deal with?
Yes. And initially, it was, you know, talk, talk, talk. You know, you're a lawyer, you talk, and that's what lawyers are paid to do. But I quickly became a fan of two words: no comment. And you know, it was hard because I wanted to tell the story. I wanted others to know the story, or I thought it might be of value to me to be able to tell the story in some fashion. It might open up other doors and other opportunities to help my client. If somebody hears the story and says, oh, you know what, I can help you with that issue. But I think, you know, trying to take a back step and just realize that this is about Darren, it's not about me, and really realizing that no comment goes a long way, and you get respect from people who realize, yeah, this is a personal matter. This is a divorce. There's a child at issue at that time. There's, you know, complicated issues involving his contract and alimony and child support and all that stuff. Let's respect the process. And so I think no comment became a very common theme of mine throughout my representation of him. But obviously there's a date and a time and a place to talk and say what you need to say.
I want to get back now to talking about the foundation. I've had conversations with people that have run like nonprofits and stuff like that in the past. And one of the things that I've been told is, because I think any type of organization that's trying to help, we all think like, oh, well, that's great, and it must be so fulfilling. And I've had people say, you don't understand how you have to be, if not cutthroat, very difficult to secure funding and deal with different things. Like, what is it like from that standpoint to making sure you get the things you need to help the people you need to help? I guess that the person said it's not all unicorns and rainbows, like you might think it might be trying to run a nonprofit helping people.
Yeah. We would not be where we are today if it wasn't for Darren's friends and teammates who, for lack of better words and pun intended, I guess, stepped up to the plate, realized that Darren was probably not going to make it beyond much, you know, beyond 2017 when, you know, he was starting to fail. And so we turned to his teammates, his friends, and asked them to be ambassadors to the foundation. And so they have been an instrumental part in our success. So they realized that Darren wasn't going to be able to attend events. And if this foundation was going to survive, that they needed to be kind of the face of the organization. So we're very fortunate where we are today to have almost 20 former Phillies players that either teammates of Darren's or knew Darren or, you know, just got to see him in the clubhouse, be kind of the face of the foundation. So we struggle like any other foundation in terms of getting donor sponsors and people to trust the process. But they realize that when they come to our events, or they realize that when they make a donation and we are telling the story of how we're helping, how we're making an actual impact. If you go to our website and you look at some of the stories of the people we help, then it's really resonating with these people that their time, money, and effort is really put to good use.
To that point, and talked about the emotional toll, talk about when you are able to help and you hear a terrible story and you're able to do something to relieve that pain? Like, what does that feel like?
It feels incredibly rewarding, but at the same time, you know that it's a sad story because these people are struggling financially. In some instances, they're about to lose their homes or they're about to be evicted from their apartment. And, you know, they need the rent. They need the mortgage paid. And so when you actually step in and say to the landlord or the mortgage company, hey, we're here, back off, let us, you know, help this person through this difficult time, you know, it is rewarding. And, you know, we've been fortunate to get good responses from people who say, okay, they have a heart and they see, okay, this person is struggling. Let's, you know, back off and let's let them, you know, focus on their condition. So on the one hand, it's rewarding because we know that we're making a difference and we know that we're giving them the ability to just do what they need to do to focus on their condition. But on the other hand, we know it's a very, very, very sad story and that, you know, we're seeing families that are devastated because they're going to lose a loved one and they don't know what to do. They don't know where to turn. So one of the good things that we did is we built a resource database on our website where there's books and other materials that people could, you know, turn to try to get additional help through this difficult time.
Are there things the foundation is looking to do? I don't mean help more people, but are there things that you guys hope to over the next 5-10 years put in place or start processes of to try to help more people, to try to take it to a different level?
Yeah, we spent the last 2 years undergoing a microscopic examination of the foundation by a national 501c3 company that comes in and basically peels away the layers of the onion and gets down to the core and says, this is working, this isn't working, and this is where, you know, change needs to be made. And that was an invaluable thing that we decided to do, and it was very helpful to us to realize, you know, all right, change needs to be made. Over the next 5 years, my goal is to take this foundation nationally and not just help people in, you know, the Delaware Valley and in Florida, but to venture out into every state that we can, you know, as much as we financially can help people. So A, my goal is to be nationwide, and B, to increase the amount of the grant that we are given to people, because right now we're limited to $3,000, $4,000 per case, and I'd love to see that increase to where there's no cap on how much we can give away.
What is your favorite part of being the president of the foundation?
My favorite part of being the president of the foundation is just working with so many amazing people, whether it's the board, whether it's the marketing team, whether it's Darren's wife, Amanda, who's part of our executive committee, to working with the ambassadors to get them, you know, focused on helping us fulfill the mission. The best part of this is surrounding yourself with really good people who really care and really are giving 100% of their effort to make a difference. And, you know, the events that we do throughout the year, they're fun. They're designed to maximize as much money as we can to help the people that we're helping. So there's a fun aspect to that. But obviously, there's serious overtones because we know that at the end of the day, we're going to see more applicants and more people that we need to help.
And to that point, I know you have an event coming up, a fundraiser. What's happening?
Yeah. So during spring training, Saturday, March 22nd in Clearwater at BayCare Ballpark, we're running our second annual celebrity bartending event. Last year we did it. It was in the inaugural event because we run it up here for the last 11 years at Live Casino, but we decided to take the show on the road and take it down to spring training. It made logical sense to do it down there. And it was absolutely, we hit a grand slam with that event last year. We had John Middleton show up. He literally bartended for an hour and a half. Topper showed up. Dave Dombrowski showed up. And then we had everybody from Larry Boa to Larry Anderson to Ruben Amaro and all the ambassadors that were down there that are part of spring training show up. And it was just a really, really fun event. And we're doing it again this year. We've added a few more names to the ambassador and celebrity bartending list. Sal Palantonio, for example, is coming and going to be a bartender you know, at our event this year. So we're looking to, you know, kind of change it up a little bit. Last year, we had a national country western singer named Joe Nichols. This year, we're just going to go with a DJ, and we're just going to have, you know, kind of a, you know, a fun, low threshold kind of, you know, just have a good time and have, you know, raise money for the foundation.
And I know a lot of people from around here travel to Clearwater on the regular this time of year. If people want to take part, where is it? How do they get involved?
Yeah, so you can go to our website, www.darrendaltonfoundation.org. There's an events page on our website. You just click on that. All of our events are listed there. The celebrity bartending, just click on the link and it'll take you right to the registration page. We have a VIP event starting at 4 o'clock that Saturday. From 4 to 4:30, you get open bar. You get a half hour alone with the ambassadors and with the VIPs. You can take photographs, do whatever you want, and mingle with them privately for that half hour. Then general admission starts at 4:30. That goes till 7:30. So the best way to learn about us is go to our website, see our events, follow us on social media. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We just started a TikTok page. So, I think when we started the foundation 11 years ago, we had maybe, 400 followers on Facebook, and now we're up to 20,000. So we're making a big difference there as well.
And kind of building on that, if somebody hears this, wants to help, wants to learn more, do they start by going to the website?
Yeah, the website's probably the first and best resource to gain information about the foundation. If you go to our foundation page, www.darrendaltonfoundation.org, you'll see a volunteer button. You can hit that, fill out your information. That'll come right to myself and another board member. You can donate right from the homepage of the website. You can send in a check. Our mailing address is on the website. We've had people, unfortunately, who have lost loved ones who, in memory, ask that donations be made to the foundation. Checks come to us. Everyone who sends in a check will get a thank you donation letter. So there's various ways that you can, make a difference and get involved with our foundation.
Brett Datto, thanks so much for coming in.
Matt, Leon, thank you so much. This was a pleasure to meet you, and thank you for having me.
And that will do it for this week's episode of One-on-One with Matt Leon, sponsored by your Delaware Valley Honda dealers. Get a deal you'll like on a Honda you'll love. Want to thank Brett Datto, president of the Darren Dalton Foundation, for being our guest this week and coming in studio to chat. Now, if you like the show, if you listen on Apple Podcasts, do us a favor, leave us a rating and a review. It would really help out. You can follow the show on X at One-on-One Pod. You can follow me there as well at MattLeon1060. Thanks so much for listening. And be sure to check us out again next week when we bring you another conversation with someone you should know more about.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.